141. These two psalms are written at the, or 142. These two psalms are written with tears in the eyes of the people that are writing them. Psalms 137. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down to weep when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our lyres, for there our captors required us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, "Sing to us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the song of the Lord in a foreign land? And if I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither, and let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem, how they said, 'Raise it, raise it, down to the foundations.' O daughter of Babylon, you devastator, happy shall he be who requites of you with what you have done to us. Happy shall be the one who takes your little ones and dashes them against a rock." 142. David wrote this one while he was in the cave in his time of exile. I cry to you, or I cry with my voice to the Lord, and with my voice I make supplications to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. Then my spirit is faint. When my spirit is faint, thou knowest my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. I look to the right and watch, but there is none to take notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No man cares for me. I cry to thee, O Lord. I say, thou art my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Give heed to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison, that I may give thanks to thy name. The righteous will surround me, for thou wilt deal bountifully with me. Both of these are psalms that are describing regret, remembrance. I read one time, the saddest words of tongue or pen are these: it could have been. When we look back and we see something we don't have anymore that we really loved, we're filled with grief. And this awful feeling is usually not made better by remembering how great the thing is that we lost. But you're going to do it. These Israelites in Babylonian captivity, they go down by the river, by themselves somewhere, and Babylonians come by and see them, and they come down and they say, "Sing us a song. Do us a little dance. Tell us how great you are. Why don't you tell that story about Joshua? Why don't you tell that one? I've heard you tell that before. Why don't you sing those songs you sang when you were victorious over other people?" And he said, "How do you sing at a time like this?" This is a time of sadness, a time of regret. There is a difference in these two poems, and the Psalms are either man's expression to God, his true feelings, sometimes their complaints, and sometimes they're God's expression to man, what he expects of him. This psalm, of course, is a psalm of regret. I think about these people. They might talk about that bread maker on a certain street in Jerusalem that had the best bread you ever ate. Maybe they would talk about on the day when they had the Feast of the Tabernacles, and everyone would be cooking outside, and they would be camping in the yards, and how much fun. Maybe they were remembering, like David did in the middle of that battle with the Philistines, how cool the water was at a certain well and how good it was. And What he's really remembering is when he was strong and young and had no real problems. Maybe they're remembering their house. How proud he was when he put the door on it and they moved in. Maybe he's remembering his children and how much joy he had when he would come home from the fields and they would run out to meet him. Maybe he was remembering having his friends over. And then every one of those memories would end with the same thing. None of that's there anymore. The people are dead. The city is torn down. Even the temple has been destroyed. He saw with his own eyes, perhaps, them carting off every scrap of metal, every piece of good wood, every strong slave, every pretty girl, to this horrible place where we are now. This writer, as he regrets and laments and remembers, he regrets and laments and remembers the city where he lived and the life that he had. And he can't wait for God to turn the tables on those people. David also regrets. But we just can't get away from David, can we? I can't. David doesn't live as much in the past as he does in the present and the future. And so David talks more about his situation right then. He doesn't talk about the soft bed he had back at his mansion that he used to live in and the fact that he was always clean, and no matter how dirty he got, there was a bath waiting for him, and no matter what else happened, he had plenty of clothes and everything. But David is looking around him and he says he is low. He's in a cave and he's desperate. In verse 2, he remembers what he lost. He pours out his complaint and the trouble that he has before God. And he reminds God what God already knows, that he's weak and faint, and he doesn't know if he'll be able to get through this one. There was a time when David wasn't afraid of a bear or a lion. There was other times when he wasn't afraid of a giant, and other times he wasn't afraid of an army. Didn't matter. And now he's afraid there's a hole in the ground out there that he's going to fall in, or a log that's going to crash down on him. And he's looking for traps and troubles. There was a time when they carried him on their shoulders, and the people lined the street when they heard he was coming. They even made up a song that was on the top 10 for a long time about how great David was. And now, whichever way he looks, there's nobody there. He's alone. So he's afraid. He's desperate, and he's alone. There was a time that people loved him, and now he can't find hardly anybody that cares whether he lives or not. But David, in verse 5, also remembered God, and he remembered that God has never left him. And he remembered that God was the reason he killed the giant, and God was the reason the lions and bears stayed away from him. And God was the reason that he had his victories, and he turns to God there, and he humbly begs for God's help. He asks for release from this awful situation that he's in. He doesn't want to live in a cave anymore. He doesn't want to live this life of fear anymore. David remembers when he stood straight up and looked people in the eye and lived the life of a free person. And he asked God to forgive him and to release him. And then he says also in verse 7 that he's confident that God will do that. He says, "Bring me out of this prison that I may give thanks to thy name, thy righteous will surround me, for thou wilt deal bountifully with me." Why would David think that? Well, there's a couple of reasons. He doesn't say them in his song, One of them is God has always dealt bountifully with David. David knew. When he went to fight the giant, he knew it wasn't because he could throw rocks better than anybody in the land. He knew it was because God was with him. He told the giant, "You come at me with sword and spear and javelin, I come at you in the name of the Lord." He knew. He told Saul before he went into battle, "I've fought, God has given me, handed me, delivered me, to me, lions and bears." And this man is no different. He remembered not just the losses that he had, not just that he lost his job and he lost his position in the palace and he lost his wealth, and before long he's running for his life without even a weapon. He's not centering on that. He's remembering the one constant in his life was that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. So when David acknowledges his terrible situation and the loss that he's had, you know he knew about it. You know he thought about it. That's kind of the things he's talking about. His complaint, he called it. He also remembered God. There's another reason David is confident about God. Not only because God has always been good to him, but God has made promises to him. God's prophet has come and poured oil on his head and said, "You, in the name of the Lord, you are the next king of Israel." It hasn't happened yet, and it ain't going to happen in this cave. And so he is confident about his future. These two psalms are close together in the Bible, but they're far apart in the attitude towards the person that prays them or sings them. We're the guy over here in 137. We're the person who can't remember a good day. And when we remember it, we tack onto it, but that's all gone now. There's no street with a bakery in it. There's no house where I once lived. There's no nothing. David, when he thinks about that sort of thing, he remembered that even though Ziklag was burned to the ground, God gave him back everything he lost. And he remembered God. A lot of difference. There's no way we're going to escape pain. There's no way we're going to escape grief. There's no way we're going to escape loss. That's the nature of life. But we don't have to do it without God. And David stands out. Why do you think God loved him so? Why do you think he thought, "Look at that. Look at him. He couldn't be much lower, and yet he's still singing praises to me. He's still calling to me. He's still praying. He's still humble before me. And he still looks forward to the promise that I've given." From our side of the story, we don't live by knowledge. We'd like to know everything about everything, but we don't know very much. But we do have promises. We'd like to live with strength. We'd like to be able to, any task that's given to us, we can do it. But the fact is that we're not promised that, but we do have promises. Listen carefully. Our life, our success, our getting out of the cave or away from the riverbank where people were jeering you is your faith in God. John would tell us that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And so instead of thinking and fantasizing about little babies getting slammed against a wall and the things the first guy wrote about, David is praising God, sitting on a rock in a cave, praising God not in his best go-to-temple clothes, but in the clothes that he ran out in the night in that haven't been washed in days. David is praising God maybe with cracked lips because he's thirsty. But he's saying, "I still believe you, God. I still believe you." I don't know who could preach a better sermon than the person who is at the very bottom of their life and they don't give up on God. I think about Job sitting on a pile of ashes, scraping his boils with a broken pot, and saying, though he slay me, I will serve him. I'm thinking about Paul and Silas in a jail cell in Philippi after being beaten bloody and chained to the wall, singing praises to God. I'm thinking about Paul saying, I'm about to be poured out as a sacrifice. And then he says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. And then he starts thinking about the crown of righteousness is waiting for him. And I think about David, alone and scared. Don't you know that was an unusual feeling for him, to be afraid? Don't you know he didn't like it? Don't you know it was a terribly distressing feeling for David to be afraid? So even more than ever, he turns to the one that he knows, and he never loses his faith in his way. David sinned, but he was always seeking the heart of God. And because of that, God loved him. We could tonight, we could make a list of what we've lost. Can you think of a few things? Are there some friends that used to be close that they're not friends anymore? They might even dislike you. You think about situations that you had, homes that you had, possessions you had, treasures that you had, maybe strength and health and vigor, and the world was all praises for you, and now, well, what are we going to do with it? Oh, we could sit and fantasize about getting back at the guy that got your business, or the one that used to like you, but they only liked you because you had something, or a lot of other things. Or we could turn to the one source that never changes, that you can't lose. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And on our knees and trembling, we hold on to him. And we're able to go through the valley of the shadow of death because he is with us. If you need God, and we all do, this is a great time to come to him. Why don't you come while we stand in